Good morning, Tuolumne Community Baptist Church. This is your Pastor George. Here it's Sunday morning, beginning of July, July 2nd. Happy 4th of July to everyone out there. Hey, praise God, I'm back. It was just 2 months ago, May 7th, I had a heart attack after service, and it should have taken me out, but it did not. The Lord has preserved me. Today, I am taking the pulpit back. I'm so excited. I'm a little nervous. I get out of breath easily. I'm still trying to get my strength back. So please be patient with me. But I think we got a great message this morning for you. One that is timely. One we need to hear. And I think that you'll be blessed. So stay tuned. Enjoy today's message. I'll be with you here in just a few seconds. Thank you. God bless you. And thank you for hanging in there with me. What a ride this has been. Just praise God. I praise God every day for the air that I breathe. God bless you. Can't wait to see you. Come out and see us here at Tuolumne Community Baptist here in Tuolumne City. All right. Bye-bye. So we'll give it a shot and see how that goes. We're not going back to the book of Galatians yet. The Lord's put something on my heart over these past weeks of being home. And you know what's interesting? That 12 days in the ICU seemed like an eternity. And it's behind me now. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I just get to think. I think back the thoughts I was having then. And I think, Lord, it's all behind me. It's all behind me. But the Lord's put something on my heart that we need to address in the church. And we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 1 as our base scripture today. But before we get into the scripture, I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit. And at first, just a little bit about me. I mean, I have some new people. Glenn is relatively new to me, and Gracie, and there's others that are just haven't had the opportunity to really get to know me. And I think it's really important that you know who I am. It's very important at least to know the best as you can the person you're going to be entrusting to teach you and lead you into a future with Jesus Christ. It's very important. And some of you, like Glenn, you haven't been around for very long and have no idea. So let's talk a little bit about myself. I'm proud to be a Southern Baptist pastor. I'm proud to be a part of the Motherlode Baptist Association, the one that you just saw up there, as well as the California Southern Baptist Conference we're part of, and also we're part of the Southern Baptist Convention, which is national, which is the largest Protestant denomination in America still today, with 16 million members. I mean, if the Baptists would all get together and vote right, we could change the world. As proud as I am to be part of this Baptist organization, it is not my goal to be a good Baptist. I hope my elders don't cringe when I say that. But it's not my goal to be a good Baptist. My goal is to be a man in relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, first and foremost, before politics of man and religion. Yes, we support the Southern Baptist missions and we support, you know, their programs, and we adhere to the biblical standards, providing their biblical standards are biblical. I will not adhere to them if they're not. And it's up to us to decide that for ourselves. But I'm proud to be a Baptist. I'm a full gospel Baptist. I believe in the entirety of the word. I believe that the Holy Spirit is alive and well today, as well as he was back then in Jesus' day. I believe that our vote counts when we're trying to keep evil decisions out of our denomination. But these are not my first priorities in leading this church. My first priority is teaching the living word of God to the best of my ability and with the help of the Holy Spirit. And trust me, I need his help. Because I'm just not that good at it. I need his help. That's where I stand. I'm a Christian first, Glenn. Before you can call me a Baptist, I'm a Christian first, because that's where I stand. I'm also very proud of where I live. Tuolumne County is really a pretty amazing place. We are blessed beyond compare. Well, Pastor, how do you say we're blessed? Did anybody see any, you know, transvestites or anything walking around? No. We're fairly protected here in our community. And it's not that I'm against anybody. That's kind of a disclaimer that I want to put out. This is not a message of hatred or anger or anything like that. It's how are we going to respond when it comes to our church? And it will. It will. I moved to the county in 1990, some 33 years ago. I raised my youngest son here all through grade school and high school. And I'm proud of the education he got in this county. Why? Because for the most part, our county has been a Christian conservative community. And that's including both Republican and Democrat. That's who we are. I don't remember in years past arguing with a Democrat. We would agree on who's the best person to vote for. That's what we did. As a community, it seemed always that we voted for the best person for the job. The political lines and the newest culture wave was never an issue with the people I hung out with, at least in this community. But guess what? Our county is changing. Okay, it's changing rapidly. People with different views are moving in. They're getting into our schools. They're getting into our school boards, city and council, county councils. Most of those good teachers that taught my son are now retired or soon to be retiring. And they're being replaced with people with a different view. I believe that we're a little behind the rest of the country. Praise God for that. I'm so glad that we're behind. In regard to the corruption in our schools. But it's coming and it's there. And we're going to see it more and more. So why do we need to talk about this? Do you know what your children or grandchildren are being taught in school today? And why does it seem that this culture is after our children? They are. I'm telling you, they are. And it's not the first time in our history that they've gone after our kids. I want you to consider Nazi Germany. Adolf Hitler believed that securing the loyalty and obedience of children was the essential if Nazism was to survive beyond the current generation. As a consequence, the children of Nazi Germany were subjected to intensive propaganda through mediums, education, training, and social groups. Does that sound familiar? Even in the early years of the Nazi Party, when leading the nation was a distant dream, Hitler placed a great emphasis on the importance of children. Finally, and perhaps most significantly, Hitler's youth policies aimed at fulfilling the minds of young Germans with ideas about racial purity, Aryan supremacy, German expansion, and the future military conquests. In 1933, Hitler wrote of the Nazi policy. My program, this is quote, "My program of educating youth is hard. Weakness must be hammered away. In my castles of tyrannic order, a new youth will grow up before which the world will tremble. I want brutal, domineering, fearless, and cruel youth. Youth must be all of that. It must bear pain. It must be nothing weak and gentle about it. And that is how I will educate thousands of years of human domestication. That is how I will recreate the new world order." You say, well, why do we have to talk about Hitler? That's just something we shouldn't talk about in church. We must pay close attention to our own history of the sinful nature of man. Those of you who are with me, do you remember going through the book of Judges? The cycle of sin. It would go around and around. They would be serving God and doing good and believing God, and then it would fall into sin. Eventually, God would release them to bondage, and they would be bondage, and then they would cry out to God. And I'm telling you, this nation needs to be crying out to God, because we've fallen further than I think a lot of us even realize or are even willing to consider how far the United States has fallen. Especially the state of California. We should pay attention to our history. It's sad that the Christian church in Germany did so very little to stop this. So did, and they were executed when they tried. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you might remember his name. A German Lutheran pastor, a theologian, and a Nazi dissident, anti-Nazi dissident, who was a key founding member of the Confessing Church. His writings of Christianity's role in the secular world have become widely influential in his book in 1937. It's called The Cost of Discipleship, and I'm telling you, I'd like to get that book. It's described as a modern classic. He was executed on April 9th, 1945, by hanging. So why do we need to hear all this? Because if we're not informed, if we don't talk about this, the things we see going on in our world, even in our own community, will be easily deceived. And that's what this is about, being informed so that we're not easily deceived. Do you realize that right now, here in our own California, in our California legislature, there are bills being voted on and passed right now from raising our kids under a biblical standard. Right now, in our state. It's called AB 597, denying custody to non-affirming parents. Yeah, please oppose AB 957. AB 957 will require California courts to deny custody to non-gender affirming parents in custody disputes. AB 957 is a deliberate attack on parents who will not cave to the radical gender ideology. It is plaguing the minds of our children in schools and online. That's what they're being taught in schools. AB 957 states, the health, safety, and welfare of a child includes a parent's affirmation of the child's gender and identity. By including a parent's affirmation of the child's gender identity in California definition of the health and safety welfare of a child, California law will villainize the parents who hold biblical views on gender. And it will definitely villainize churches who stand behind that parent. It's coming. AB 957 becomes law. In a custody dispute, a California court will be legally required to deny custody to a parent who does not affirm his child's new gender of identity. Denying custody rights to a parent is cruel, and it hurts both the parent and the child by serving the most important relationship in the child's life. By severing a relationship that is essential to the health and the well-being of the child. And everybody knows this. Denying a family for the purpose of progressing a racial gender ideology is an incredible overreach of our government power that will have devastating effects on families throughout California. AB 957 will be heard in the Senate Judiciary Committee Tuesday, June 13th, and I believe they passed. They passed it, so now it's going to be going on to the governor. There's one senator who wrote, yes, we will get to the Bible. Senator Scott Wilk, Republican, Santa Clara, urged parents to flee the state during a recent hearing. In the past, I have had these discussions and I have seen parental rights apathy. I've encouraged people to keep fighting. I've changed my mind, Wilkes said. I love my children and I need to flee California. This is a state senator. He said, I was born and raised in this state. I love this state, but I'm not going to stay in this state. It is just too oppressive and too dangerous for my children. I believe in freedom and I'm going to move. He says, I'm going to move to America, not including California in America. Now, I'm not suggesting, don't anyway, you get up here and move. Because the problem is the good ones are moving. And it's going to leave the rest of the liberal this craziness here to vote the way we would not vote. So don't leave California. I beg you. But if I had little children, I'd be considering it. I certainly would be considering it. There's another one, AB 223. Oh, you're not done, Pastor? It was introduced to change of gender and sexual identifier, exercising law authorities, a person to file a petition with the Superior Court seeking a judgment recognizing their change of gender of male, a female to male, or non-binary, which means I guess you could be a cat or a dog. I'm not sure. Including a person who is under 18 years of age. They can go to court and tell you that this is what you have to do. And if you don't adhere to it, they'll take the child from your home. The bill would require any petition of change of gender or sex identifier of a petition of change of gender, sex identifier, some of the way they write it, the name filed of the person under 18 years of age. There's an author that I found her when I was in the hospital because I was considering all this, and I thought, not everybody's thinking this way. And this lady wrote a book called Irreversible Damage. Her name is Abigail Schreier. Has anybody heard of her? I believe that she's a Christian. Honestly, I don't know. I don't see anything in the book. What I've downloaded one of them, and I haven't seen anything, but I have seen her talk on a Christian program and at a Christian college, and it was recorded and I watched it. It was incredible. She acknowledges in this book that gender dysphoria does exist. Okay? She at least acknowledges that, and I agree with that. There are people with problems, and sometimes it comes in birth. It was formerly known as gender identity disorder. It's characterized by a severe and persistent discomfort of one's biological sex. It typically begins in early childhood, ages 2 to 4, though it may grow more severe in adolescence. But in most cases, 70% of the childhood gender dysphoria resolves over time as they grow up. Historically, it's affected a tiny sliver of the population, roughly 0.01%. That would calculate to 1 in 10,000. I doubt anybody you ever went to high school with. 1 in 10,000, she writes. If the case is just 0.1%, why is there such a push against our girls, especially our girls and boys, to have to choose their gender identity? It's a push to alienate and separate Christian morals and values. It's a push to from our society as a whole. We will be considered the tyrannical haters. We will be. And don't be shocked if somebody gets angry with you and gets in your face and says, you hate everything. And you can say, no, I don't. And I love you. But that's what we'll be considered, because we do not want to cave to what they're saying. The intolerant Jesus people, they will say. We judge others, sin, and simply because they choose not to live the way we choose not to live the way they do. The LGBTQ or the ABC group, the woke, Black Lives Matter, intersectionality, critical race theory. I'm not against any of these. I'm not for any of it, but I'm not against it. I believe in freedom. I believe that we have the freedom of speech. I believe we have the freedom to worship God in peace. And it's our choice. Where's my freedom to say no? And that's where the problem is. I'm not saying they can't protest and march and do all the things that they want to do. They can. And I won't throw rocks. I won't participate. But they want to change what my kids are being taught in school. They want to change what I preach here in this church. Where's my freedom? Where's our freedom to say this is wrong? In fact, if you, I had to look this up because I couldn't figure out what the heck is intersectionality. What is that? Can anybody tell me? I looked it up. It's an analytical framework for understanding how a person's various social and political identities combine to create different roles of discrimination and privilege. Intersectionality identifies multiple factors of average of dis and disadvantage. Examples of these factors would include gender, caste, sex, race, ethnicity, class, sexuality, religion, disability, weight, the fat guy preaching, and physical appearance. If anybody that was a believer in intersectionality would walk in and go, wow, this church is just, we're all for white folk. Well, I got one brown one back there. I had a couple brown ones. Praise God. I wish we had a few black ones, but none of them live here. But because of what they see, they would say, oh, that's a white prominent church that is going to discriminate against your rights because of what they see. It's so ridiculous. Let me say it again. I do not hate or have anger in my heart to any of these groups. I allow them to choose their lifestyle and live it. But does that mean I have to continue, that I can't continue to preach the truth of God's word? Should I be silenced simply because they don't agree with the Bible? God forbid if any of us is silenced. C.S. Lewis once said, everyone's running towards the cliff. And we are running the opposite way, away from certain disaster. Yet they will say, we're the crazy ones. And they will, and they are. Our country has lost its mind. And the process has been slow but constant, and it's moving right along. I want us to see how Jesus responded to some of these questions. We're going to first look at Matthew 24, 1 through 14. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to him and to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone will be left upon another that it shall not be thrown down. Jesus was talking about the destruction of the temple, which was going to come 35, 40 years after this statement. Now he sat in the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be. And what will be a sign of your coming and the end of the age? Has anybody got that question? Tell me, Lord. Tell me what it is so that I to see it, to understand it. And Jesus said to them, isn't it interesting? I can think of so many things for Jesus to say instead of what he said. He said, take heed. That no one deceive you. Take heed that no one deceive you. That's the first thing out of his mouth. All these things that Jesus could have said. You know, they will hate you, they'll persecute you, they'll burn down your churches. No, he says, take heed that no one deceives you. Because I'm telling you, church, there are Christian churches throughout America that are being deceived badly. There are churches that actually put up on their billboards, you know, drag book reading, drag queen book reading at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's happening all across the United States. Do you know affirming someone's sin is not helping them at all? It's not helping them at all. Oh, it'll get them to come into the church, but it's not going to get them saved. They're going to hell, and it's corruption that is happening. Verse 5. Then many will come in my name, saying, I am the cross. I am the Christ, and will deceive many. I believe he's pointing to the Antichrist, but there are many who have come before him. They will have answers, and they will make us feel better about our sin. And they're out there right now. You will hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Does that not sound like our newsreel? We could turn it on. It'd be on there right now. Wars and rumors of wars. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. It definitely does sound like our evening news. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up for tribulation, and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. Is everybody excited to hear that? Don't be shocked. That's why we have to study this and be prepared as Christians to be strong in the living word of God and know that it's going to get bad. But it's going to be okay. We win. I've read the end of the book. We win. And many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. This is exactly what these groups are doing, dividing us, trying to get us to go along with their message of sin. And they're dividing the church. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. I think weird sometimes. Who would be listening to false prophets? Who would be listening to prophets? Christians. Christians. The world doesn't care about prophets. They're not talking about anybody being prophetic in the future. He's talking about Christians. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. We have to be so careful. Your love and my love may grow cold when we are so hated. We must never, ever lose the mission of the church. And that's where we have to be. We got to love them. We're called to respond to them biblically. Not with foul language and not with stones and bats like I'd like to do. My flesh wants to get angry. But we have to be careful that we don't do that. Verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come. God is not shocked at what is going on in our world. Some of us are, because we're stuck in the head. We have stuck our heads in the sand, not wanting to address the sin we see in our world. A lot of preachers don't want to preach it. They don't want to talk about it. They want to just stay with the peace and love. And yeah, I see those two guys holding hands. They love each other. Affirming their sin is not going to save them. It's not going to bring them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Only the truth will. And we can't do that in anger. Well, Pastor, what are you going to do if a guy comes walking in here in a silk string dress and comes in and sits down? Obviously a man by gender, but dressed as a woman. What are you going to do? I'm going to ask Jim Reville to sit by him. Because you know what? He has enough love in his heart to do that. And has done it. And to care for him. And to softly speak words of truth to him. Eventually they'll be offended when we ask them that they can't, you know, tell them they can't enter the girls' restroom. I'm sorry. That's the line we'll draw. And they'll get angry and leave. But it's going to happen. And we as a church have to not lose our own salvation in the process by getting angry. Now, if you want to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, this is our base scripture. I read it out of many versions, and I took it today out of the New International Reader's Version. Excellent version. So if it's a little different than what your Bible is, don't worry, we'll all get there together. I'm going to start with verse 18. God shows his anger from heaven. It is against all godliness and evil things people do. They are so evil that they say no to truth. Anybody know anybody like that? They just simply say no to the truth. Verse 19, the truth about God is plain to them. God has made it plain. Verse 20, ever since the world was created, it has been possible to see the qualities of God that are not seen. Has anybody ever seen a baby born? What a miracle. I don't care if it's a puppy or your sister, man. I don't care. If you've seen a baby, it's a miracle. It's a miracle that what God has created to see the beauty that we live in. The intricate painting on a butterfly's wings. It's just so incredible that the only God could create that. And he has made it plain for us to see. He goes on to say, I'm talking about his eternal power and about the fact that he is God. Those things can be seen in what he has made, so people have no excuse for what they do. It's right there, plain and simple. Verse 21, they knew God, but they didn't honor him as God. They didn't thank him. Their thinking became worthless. Their foolish hearts became dark. Verse 22, they claimed to be wise, but he made them fools of themselves. They would rather have statues of gods than the glorious God who lives forever. Their statues of God will be made to look like people, birds, animals, and reptiles. Verse 24, pay attention to this one. So God let them go. God let them go. He allowed them to do what their sinful hearts wanted. He let them commit sexual sins. They made one another bodies impure by what they did. Verse 25, they chose a lie instead of the truth about God. They worshiped and served created things. They didn't worship the Creator. But he is praised forever. Amen? Amen. He is. So God let them continue to have their shameful desires. Their women committed sexual sins against acts that were not natural. In the same way, men turned away from their natural love for women and they burned with sexual desire for each other. Men did shameful things with other men and they suffered in their bodies for all the wrong things they did. Verse 28, they did not think it was important to know God. So God let them continue to have their evil thoughts. They did the things they shouldn't do. Verse 29, they are full of every kind of sin, evil and ungodliness. They want more than they need. They commit murder. They want what belongs to other people. They fight and cheat. They hate others. They say mean things about other people. Primarily the church. They tell lies about them. They hate God. They are rude and proud. They brag, and they think of new ways to do evil. They don't obey their parents. That one got me. He's talking about our kids. They don't obey our parents. So we have to be very careful that we don't lose our kids. Because in the process of, we're understanding all this thing, but our kids are being taught things they shouldn't be taught in school. And then we wonder why they rebel to the church. They rebel against their parents. The Bible says right here, they don't obey their parents. Verse 31, they don't understand. They can't be trusted. They are not loving and kind. Verse 32, they know that God's commands are right. They know that those who do evil things should die, but they continue to do the very things. They also approve as others to do them. It's in your Bibles. It's right there. God is telling us that he will turn them loose to their sin and turn them over to our sin. You should praise God every time you get that guilty feeling in your gut that shouldn't be thinking the thought that you're thinking. Praise God for that. That he checks me all the time to get rid of evil thinking and things that I should not be thinking. Because he loves us so much. But consider where these people must be. So what are we to do? How are we to respond to a world that has gone mad? Well, that's in the Bible too. 1 Peter 1, 5 through 9. This is also out of the New International Reader's Version. Praise God, verse 5 says, through faith you are kept safe by God's power. Man, you want to put one on your refrigerator? Make you feel better? Through faith you are kept safe by God's power. You got to believe. Your salvation is going to be completed. It is ready to be shown to you in the last days. And I believe that we're being shown. Verse 6, because you know all this, you have great joy. You have joy even though you may have had to suffer for a little while. You may have had to suffer to sadness and all kinds of trouble. Don't think that you're a Christian, brother or sister, that you're going to get through life and not suffer. We're going to suffer. You know, I remember sitting in the hospital thinking, God, what is this all about? What is it you're trying to teach me? I couldn't figure it out. I was looking for every kind of answer everywhere I looked. Why am I having to go through this? And finally, he said to me, so that you would understand that coronary heart disease is not good. It's alive and well in the world, and you got it. So there. I just got to live through it and trust God. And believe that it's going to be okay. Sometimes there's no answers. There's simply no answers. And I was trying to find one, and there wasn't one there. Verse 7. Your troubles have come in order to prove that your faith is real. Ah! Troubles come to prove that your faith is real. Trust me, I had to rely on my faith while I was laying on a hospital bed, hallucinating stupid stuff because of morphine. Like, what is this? I had to have faith. Your faith is worth more than gold. That's because gold can pass away even when fire has made it pure. Your faith is meant to bring praise and honor and glory to God. This will happen when Jesus returns. Verse 8, even though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe him. Can I get an amen? Amen. You do not see him now, but do you believe him? Amen. You are filled with a glorious joy that can't be put into words, and that's the truth. Verse 9, you are receiving salvation of your souls. This salvation is a final result of your faith. Well, okay, Pastor, that still didn't tell me exactly what it is I'm supposed to do. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 1, 13 through 21. He says, so be watchful and control yourselves completely. I think I need to say that again. Be watchful and control yourselves completely. Pay attention to what's coming across, you know, Prime, you know, Netflix, all that stuff, YouTube. Pay attention to what's coming through to your house, what's coming over the computer. Pay attention. Be watchful. In this way, put your hope in the grace that lies ahead. This grace will be brought to you when Jesus Christ returns. Praise God. Verse 14. So you should obey your father. You shouldn't give in to evil desires, like telling somebody what you really think of them. By someone that's completely disgracing your faith by how they act and how they dress and what they're doing. We should obey the Father. We shouldn't give in to evil desires. They controlled your life when you didn't know any better. Amen? They controlled my life for much too long. And even then, I was a conservative fighter because I believed in conservative values, even though I was a sinner. And I would be the one throwing rocks. Verse 15, God who is close to you is holy. So you should be holy in all that you do. Listen to it. It is written, be holy because I am holy. That's a quote from Leviticus 11:44. You call on a father who judges each person's work without favoring one from another. So live as outsiders during your time here. We're outsiders. It doesn't seem like we should be, but we are becoming outsiders in our own country really fast because we don't agree with our way of thinking. So live as outsiders during your time here. Live with the highest respect for God. You were set free from an empty way of life. This way of life was handed down to you by your own people long ago. Do you know who he's talking about? Jesus, the disciples, further back, Moses, all the way back, our ancestors. It's been handed down to us. We have it recorded in the living word of God. We were set free from an empty way of life by the way that was handed down to you by your own people long ago. You know that you were not bought with things that can come to pass like silver and gold, that can pass away like silver and gold. Instead, you were bought with the priceless blood of Christ. He is a perfect lamb. He doesn't have any flaws at all. Verse 20, he was chosen before God and created for the world, but he came into the world for your sake in these last days. Verse 21, because of what Christ has done, you believe in God. It was God who raised him from the dead, and it was God who gave him glory. So your faith and hope are in God. That's how we got to live. And we can't get angry at people. I get angry at the TV. Anybody with me? You get, you know? But then I got to catch myself and say, Lord, I need to pray for that guy. I need to pray for that girl. One more scripture and I'll let you go. 1 Corinthians 13. You guys know what chapter that is, the love chapter. Again, it's out of the New International Reader's Version. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not want what belongs to others. It does not brag, and it is not proud. So now we're face to face with someone that's a different culture than we are. We have to love them. It does not dishonor other people, even though what they believe is totally against what we believe and stand for. We cannot dishonor other people. It's not going to do any good. It's going to create hatred and anger. It does not look out for its own interests. It does not easily become angry. That one's a hard one for me. I'm a hothead and I don't like it. It does not keep track of other people's wrongs. Wow. Love is not happy with evil, but is full of joy when it truly is spoken. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It never gives up. I lied. I got one more scripture. Sorry. I quickly scanned it and went, no, I got to say it. Matthew 10:16. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. This is what Jesus is talking. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. So be wise as snakes and harmless as doves. Know when to slip out. Know when to fold them and get on out of there. It says in verse 17, watch out. You will be handed over to the local courts. You'll be whipped in the synagogues. Verse 18, you will be brought to governors and kings because of me. You will be witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. Verse 19, but when they arrest you, don't worry about what you will say or know or how you will say it. At that time, you will be given the right words to say. We got to trust God. It's not just, you know, what we've been going through to protect our children in our own Sunday school by having everybody with background checks and doing everything. Now it's if a child leaves here and tells them that we're teaching against gender identity, the church can be prosecuted. And I'm not going to preach anything different. Boys are boys and girls are girls. Amen? Amen. That's how God created us, and that's how we go forward. This wasn't a fun message, but I think it's one we needed to hear. It's happening in our state right now. Decisions that are going to go against the church and what we preach, what we believe, and what we do. And we need to know that. We need to know what's on the horizon. But we also need to know that we don't need to worry. God in heaven is going to protect his church. He is with us, and he will protect us. I don't even think I need an altar call today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for all that you do. Father, thank you for this word. We have to remember how to live in a world that has really gone awry, man. It's just how to navigate the muck and the grime of this world. Father, we can only do that with your word, with your presence. Father, help us to do that. Help us to be part of a mighty army of God that is going to stand for the truth no matter what comes. Father, we will give you the praise and you the glory because I know you got our backs. You will take care of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm not going to let you get away. If anybody does need prayer, certainly I would love to pray for you. But with that, let's all stand together. I'm so glad that you're here. I just got dizzy standing up. Wow. No, I'm okay. It's weird. My body is just weird. I get up from the recliner at home because I'm all the time. I get up just to go to the kitchen. It's like, whoa, everything's. I got to learn to just stand still for a minute and let everything get there. God bless you. I love you. If you need prayer, please come. And Joe and I would love to pray for you. But you are dismissed.